name. And for my last hit, I'd like to take you back to the classic. B.I.G. style, of course. Turn your head round. Lay on the ground. You've been round. Wake up.
I've been robbed of any and all emotion or ambition towards this football team right now.
Were we robbed, or did we just hand it over? Because it looks like we just handed it over. Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts Podcast.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five, dead or alive.
NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
You say hand it over, I say robbed. I feel like you're alluding to the fact that we should have been ready for this, yes?
More like we're giving up.
This team is almost looking as if it's turned its back on its head coach right now. Welcome, everybody, to the NYJ Couch Scouts Podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jeff fans?
And we're happy to be back. A happy Thanksgiving. We had our bye week and little holiday scheduling. So we're happy to be back. Not happy with what we're seeing on the field, but definitely glad to be here.
Yep. Glad to be back.
Now, you say we should have been ready for this. Realistically, though, you really seen 3-9 and the turmoil and embarrassment that we put on a football field coming?
You know, the Ryan Fitzpatrick cycle has completely went all the way around. It has completely went all the way around. Getting paid, giving up, just playing hard.
The attitude is something else, and you brought it up pre-show that's what you wanted to hit. The attitude that he puts out there is conduct detrimental to the team. It really is.
And the one thing I want to say about that is case in point, Todd Bowles saying, "Oh, I told you guys before I told Fitzpatrick. I'm telling the media before I'm telling my player." Is the relationship that bad with them?
I think with him personally, yes. And what stood out to me with that quote was that, I want to say 3-4 weeks ago, he said, you know, I'm not going to, when he made the change, I'm not going to do that before I talk to my coaches, before I do this. So when he said that was the plan all along, and then Fitz comes back with, yeah, well, I didn't know that in his conference, that's a bad look. But I just think Bowles is getting to the point where the buttoned up and the downright boring conference that it is already, he's starting to show a little more because he's hitting his boiling point.
He definitely has.
He's saying one or two things that he normally wouldn't say in those post-game press conferences right now.
Yeah, and saying the point that this was the plan all along. No way. This wasn't the plan all along.
No, I don't think all along. I think he meant in terms of the last few weeks, this was the plan. We trotted him out there against New England, and we trotted him out there against Indy when we really didn't have any reason to, because we just planned on doing the last month of Petty.
Because if this was the plan, really, what was the plan? You know what I mean? This is it's unbelievable that this is the plan all along. It doesn't look good for us. It doesn't look good for him. It doesn't look good for anybody here.
I don't remember who said it. I want to say Damian Woody, but I could be wrong. Somebody put out there the other day on Twitter that the lack of real direction in any plan that we can see makes it look like they're making it up on the fly.
It really does.
And this is a regime that we praised no more than 16, 17 months ago. A regime that we couldn't wait for the dictatorship, the discipline that was coming. This team has zero discipline. And this organization feels as if it has zero direction.
This is the one thing I wanted to bring up about the whole Todd Bowles and just the organization in general, is that on Monday, we had ticket sales going down to $5 to $20. You can get into the game for $20.
$6. I got people asking me if I bought a hero or if I went
exactly.
to the game.
Not even halftime. You got fans drunk as hell streaking the field and showing Todd Bowles' face at that moment because they're not going to show the streakers. Just looks like this is a complete circus. Your team's not showing up. Your fans are showing up just to get drunk and make fun of you. Your owner might take another job. What is going on? This is a complete circus.
And what did you see? Because you were at the game. What did you see in the stands in terms of, I don't want to say relationships with each other, but more... Were people there looking for a fight, looking for a New England fan?
Well, I was at the New England game, and what I sit in a section with a lot of season ticket holders, and everybody was still, you know, rooting for the Jets to win.
That's a little foolish to me, but neither here nor there for this argument.
But you know, people go to the game, they want to see a win. They want to see an exciting Jets win. We haven't won all year. We're going to play the Patriots. We beat Tom Brady. It's a great thing, and we did tear him up. We did get after Tom.
Stop.
We did get after Tom. As much as we don't like to, we hit him more than we usually do. But let me say that the fans around me were also like, every time there was a mess, I was like, oh, you know, the year is just horrible. We suck. We suck. We suck. But they were cheering for them to win at the same time. It was still a unity. But looking at this Monday game was the total opposite of that Patriot game. I think that was the last you were going to see this season of Jet fans turning
out
for their team.
You notice they didn't even pull out for the national anthem. They left it with a tight camera focus, just flag and field. Because there was about 2,500 people at that game, it looked yeah. like. You sit in your box if you're Woody Johnson. And what does that say to you? What does that look like to you? You got Mike Pence sitting next to you,
exactly.
The whole nation watching. And your building is empty and your team is embarrassing.
Hey, for my opinion, I hope you sell the team, Woody. It hasn't been going good since you've been here.
I'm rooting for this little job.
I'm
absolutely.
Go to the UK, buddy. Work with Johnson & Johnson. Do what you got to do, man. I'm sorry, but I think it's time for you to go.
I don't care where he's located or what he'd have to do. My point is, Coach Westhoff on postgame said he'd ask to be owner for a year.
Would love it.
Oh, that would just be the dream.
Would love it. Maybe we'd have a kick returner.
Basically, we definitely would. This return game would be sewed up from the offices up top first.
Unbelievable.
But basically saying, you know, he put pride in his time here, the years he coached here, and that Jets emblem, and there's things that he sees that just have to be corrected. And the dream that would be is just perfect to me. I just feel Woody has a chance here to maybe get a little too busy to keep meddling in this football team.
He wants to have his hands in there, and I guess he wants to be in the secret society of the owners of the NFL, but it hasn't been working out for you, man. And you're in New York. You're one of the biggest media areas in the country, especially for sports, and you haven't brought anything good to this team.
I just think he needs to get out of the way because you hire football people, let them do their job. And we're going to get into Bowles and future, and we've already touched on some of it, but Maccagnan, to me, you cannot say that he needs to go with Bowles if that does happen. You can't say that the amount of blood that's on Bowles' hand is on Maccagnan. It's not. There's two different entities happening right now. There's a lifelong scout that's attempting to build a team that's roster was barren of anything to really truly work with when he got here just 2 years ago. And you got a head coach who feels he has to win now and is playing players that give him the best chance to win this Sunday. We've heard it how much this year. So you got two different directions there. That's your first problem. You don't have any type of real power structure that sets up for success, football speaking. It's a situation that's maybe not conducive.
It's called turmoil.
Yeah, it's just...
Unbelievable. There's nowhere to start. There's nowhere to end. It is a complete mess.
If you're going to become a team that fires the coach in 2 years, let the general manager that you hired a firm for, let him go get his coach. Let him use his football people. Please don't turn your back on Mike Maccagnan because he's the man that should be making this future top 5, top 7 selection that we're going to have.
I agree. You can't fire the GM, man. We cannot do this all over.
But we say
again.
That about the coach too. So
I say that about the coach.
Fresh?
I don't know.
Do you wipe clean? I don't know.
My opinion on Todd Bowles is yes. I just brought up. Yeah, it looks like a circus, and you completely lost the fans. You completely lost the team. You completely lost the owner. But I don't think we should fire Todd Bowles. I do think as you've heard in the past, I think that head coaches and general managers need to be in there for a decent amount of time. There's got to be good seasons. There's got to be bad seasons. You got to stick through it. And if you stick through it, then you know if this guy's a real or not. I don't think his second season, ever after inheriting a team, putting some players on there, winning a couple games, not making the playoffs, and then having a crappy year, that means that you're done. I don't think that that's what that means. I don't think that you that
regardless
you,
of what happens kill for the rest coach. Of the year, though? Regardless, for what you just saw on Monday night and the effort that you saw on national TV, this team comes out, West Coast hangover, loses to San Fran. Comes home, loses to Miami. Goes to New England, obviously loses in Foxborough. Comes home and gets beat by Rex in MetLife, losing 3 out of 4 to the man he replaced. He's back?
That sounds absolutely horrible. That sounds like
this is what I'm asking.
A nightmare.
Regardless of the
and
end of the year,
the funny
you bring
thing is,
back.
A couple days ago, the co-founder of this show, David Schwendem, and my brother asked the same question. If there's the rest of these games are blowouts or losses, does Todd Bowles deserve to get fired? In my opinion, no, he doesn't. I think the season's already chalked up no matter what happens on from here on out for the rest of the season. But I understand, yes, it sounds horrible, and it doesn't sound like he has any part of this team, but there are players still coming out and supporting him, like Brandon Marshall coming out and say he still has the team united.
Give me a guy that's going to be here in 2 years that's going to come out and support him.
Well, that would be a hard... I can't tell you who's going to be on this team in 2 years. Who knows who's going to be on this team?
They put up... That's the problem. That's the problem. That's my point.
But is it
their
players
or the
coach?
They put up the starting lineup. They put up the starting lineup for Monday night. I'm looking at our offensive line. I'm staring at our line. I said, better hope we can bring back Brian Winters for the way he's played. The money he's going to make, we'll see. Carpenter, I mean, you never know when they're looking to get out of the deal, but realistically, he could be here in 2 years. The rest of them, I don't see here in 2 years. They put up our starting, offensive weapons, let's call them that. And I'm looking, and I'm like, Q, Powell's contract would be up. I really don't see them giving him a third deal.
Nope.
Quincy Enunwa. And that's if they can afford and don't screw that up. Two players, possibly three,
that don't
on the
speak.
Entire offense that we're talking about, and we're looking at it with a long term view. That's why I'm saying this. There's a handful of guys on this team that we thought was not only ready to win, but I was saying things like most talented coming into next offseason and stuff like that. There's a handful of guys on this team that are going to be around here in a couple years. It's sad, but you gotta let Mac keep building because it's the only way you're going to get anywhere. The reason why the Bowles and firing conversation is so prevalent is we're going to have a top premium pick. Bowles should and is probably going to play a big hand in that because him and Mac are working hand in hand, both answer to the owner. Is he the right guy to hand a premium pick over for his scheme and his staff right now?
I think so. I'm sticking behind Bowles. I'm still supporting this man no matter what happens in the last couple games.
Is it blind faith? And be honest with that.
Is it blind faith?
Is it what you want our situation to be and not in reality what it is?
You meaning having a bad season and keeping the coach?
Yes, meaning you want to keep the coach. You want to have stability. You want to grow through this.
Yes.
You want to let him grow with us. Keep the ship forward.
Yes, that's exactly my whole mindset about this. My mindset is not he's having a horrible season, and then you fire the coach. I don't like that. I like sticking with it. Keep going.
Keep
yeah,
going
I heard
forward.
Of the Titanic.
Yeah, we'll be all right. We're going to go right through it. We're going to blast right through it, and we'll come out the other side. How'd that end up?
Well, that was also the 1920s, and they were stupid, okay? So this
it wasn't the 1920s, but let's move on.
It was 1911 or something like that.
But let's move
that's
on.
That's actually the right year. That's actually the right year. 1911, go check that, guys. Go Google that one.
Please do Google that. Get back to him. That's at Justin. Go ahead, though. Keep going.
I definitely think you got to stick through it. You got to keep going. You got to give this guy another year or another 2 years. continue. You continue to see what his young players have. You continue to see what Leo has. You continue to see what Darren Lee has. You continue to see if Hackenberg turns out. You have to see what happens with this head coach.
Okay, well, let's get into some bodies and some names that this head coach now has to work with. Jeremy Ross released, C.J. Spiller released. C.J. Spiller getting more touches than Bilal Powell in a football game is a joke to me.
And then get cut.
Thank you. And the fact that he gets cut the next day proves my point on that. What do we got here? Brandon Wildes has been promoted from the practice squad, and they brought back Kyrie Robinson, a big power back. New Orleans, we signed in the offseason, unfortunately re-broke his leg against Philly week 4 of the preseason. That came out a little after the fact. We were all surprised about his release at the time. He's going to get a chance to come back. One little point I want to say on that. Again, speaking a little too much than he should have. The plan was to always bring back Kyrie Robinson in December. We were just waiting for him to get healthy. First of all, we don't need to know that. Cool. Thanks for the information. None of our business in reality. Keep that to your offices and to yourself. Because you just said you were taking somebody's job that you said was good enough to be on this football team and you can win with. But you were taking their job as soon as Kyrie Robinson got healthy. Why? Thought he was good enough to win with. He would be producing in theory at that point. So I just felt that was a little too much to say for a roster transaction like that. Wide receiver Darius Jennings and Claude Payone, a guy who was in camp with us, brought into the practice squad. I would have to assume Mario Alford was let go and Brandon Wild's spot was opened up with the promotion to the 53. And Julian Stanford. Linebacker.
Bye-bye.
We had a few things to say about after that Miami game.
Bye-bye.
And the penalty that pretty much sealed up the 2016 season for us. He goes to IR with an injury. And Arthur Brown, we picked up on waivers from Jacksonville. I believe it was second round, former second round pick in Baltimore, washed out in Baltimore. Got a shot in Jacksonville, same way we gave a Bruce Carter and a Julian Stanford a shot this year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And hoping third time's a charm for him.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just some, you know, off-season movements and nothing. I mean,
off-season movements in December. It's sad.
It's sad. Basically, it's something that no one cares about. You know what I mean? These little pickups.
You're wrong there. No, you can't say that.
Jeremy Ross and CJ Spiller is a no care for me.
Yes, but I'm looking forward to seeing if Brandon Wild brings anything to the table.
No, I like the Arthur Brown. I also like the Arthur Brown.
Absolutely.
I get it.
I like the Arthur Brown coming out of Kansas State.
Those are things we'll talk about in like March and April. Okay. The things that we need to talk about now is where's Pope at?
For the New York, Pope's in Seattle and we're picking up running backs now. Exactly. Where's the foresight in that?
Yeah,
I hear you, but team building when you're carrying 4 quarterbacks and you're carrying 16 tight ends when you don't throw to any of them, your roster's unbalanced right now. That, to me, can be spoken about in terms of general manager blame and can be brought up as a black mark on Maccagnan, and that I would entertain. But you can't. You got to rob Peter to pay Paul somewhere. So it's what they've been doing. It really is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man.
Getting into New England, getting into Indy here. The roster shakeup's done. We've tied that up. Which game do you really want to touch on? Because for me, it's Indy. New England was everything I want to see for the rest of the year. I want to see a competitive football team, and I want to see somehow, some way, we set up to where a strip sack is nice because that's not on the quarterback, so we couldn't blame it on Petty the rest of the way, and I want to see us lose.
I'm sorry to say that. I blame Fitzpatrick. I blame Fitzpatrick. As much as anybody doesn't want to, the strip sack, so what? It's him.
Chris Long, too.
I knew, buddy.
Chris Long would get us. The minute he signed in New England, I knew he'd make a play to beat us eventually.
Like, there's not much I got to say about the Patriot game, too. You summed it up greatly. It's exactly what we want to see for the rest of the year, a competitive football team going against one of our biggest competitors. We almost stuck one out. We really did. And we played them well.
Yes, we did. And that's where I want to go with it. What do I got to do to get that team every week? And I know in the NFL, you're a different team. 1 to 3 to 5 to 7. I get that. But what do I got to do for that team, for that offense to come out of
it? Let me tell you, you have to flex your team out of prime time first. And then after you've then taken them to the 4 o'clock or the 1 o'clock, and then you get Tom Brady to come in every game because that's who they want to attack. obviously, Andrew Luck ain't good enough. Andrew Luck ain't good
enough.
Exactly.
It don't matter if you beat Brady if you're going to get waxed on Monday night a week later.
It doesn't matter that Andrew Luck came to town because he did exactly what Tom Brady should have done the week before. It's unbelievable that the Patriots come to town, Bill Belichick's come to town, and we show up. We put our pants on, we tie our belts, and we tie our shoelaces. It's unbelievable. You got the Colts, who aren't even that good this year. They're decent. You got a hurt, basically.
Should have been pushed around up front, and exactly. We were pushed around
exactly.
up front.
Exactly. We got Frank Gore, who's basically on his last leg, and you got Andrew Luck, who's been injured on and off this season. And it's unbelievable that we got that. Their tight end, who hasn't had, in fantasy-wise, hasn't had more than 15 Forget points fantasy. All year, had 3 touchdowns. And every touchdown, he was wide open.
No, he wasn't.
Open.
No, stop.
Wide open, man.
Darren Lee had phenomenal coverage. It was a nice play.
What? He's got 3 of them. Which one are you talking about? Which one wasn't he wide open on?
Listen.
The first 2 or the 3rd one?
Listen, the performances of a Leonard Williams, who I'm getting a text message from my father, Big Pete. Leonard Williams should be cashing Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson's checks. And he's not wrong right now.
Wait.
The effort we're getting from Lee, and I know he's giving up touchdowns and getting beat in the flat, but you see the speed flash, the play's over when he gets there, whether he gets there after the first down or not right now. It's the type of stuff that you have to, as a Jet fan, hope to see the rest of the year, root for, and that's what you're tuning in for.
I got some key points from this game that I wanted to bring
up. Please, go
ahead.
Just
some questions, just some things that I've pulled away. Bryce Petty seems to be a serviceable backup for the rest of his career, in my opinion. I don't think that he's going to turn out to be the answer for us. I think that Bryce...
I feel a lot of people are on board with you there.
I think that Bryce has a lot of talent. I just don't think he has the head for it. Another thing, Mo seems to have nothing in him. Nothing. No push.
I don't understand it. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
Anything,
I don't know.
What
I don't know. I don't
want
to say. You know, maybe it's going to take a full year to come back from the injury. I'd like to think that's it. It was nice to hear him come out and say, you know, we need to bring better effort and we need to bring it for a whole ball game. But that starts from the top.
It does.
It starts from the top of this football team with guys like him.
It's unbelievable that we see no effort from him this season. One other. I got 2 other points here. 3 other points. Sheldon Richardson looks to be...
5 other points.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got
no,
so many.
Go
There's
with
so
it.
Many.
Just go.
Sheldon Richardson seems to be playing his way off this team completely. To be where
and
we...
And playing his way into getting us next to nothing.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
He's playing his way off this team, playing his way off to a low contract. He's not going to get the money he wanted.
No, he'll get paid.
I don't think he's
going to
get
paid.
Like Mo,
it
money?
It may take the year, but he'll get paid somewhere because somebody out there is going to use him right, let him play the 3 technique and think Atlanta and let him do his thing and just think they're going to get lucky off the field.
Just to be so bad on Monday and then for him to throw the quarterback on the ground when he didn't need to.
There was no need to even make contact there.
Exactly.
But that's the discipline that starts. You want to talk about up top with effort from our team, up top with heady play. That starts with our head coach.
The one good thing that I did see from the game on Monday, which is very hard to see, but there are 2 players I see throwing effort into this. And that's
Leo. I know one of them.
And that's Leo.
And who's the other one?
Rontez
freaking
Miles, baby. As much as I think that he gave up that first touchdown to the tight end, he puts effort into every time he plays compared to one of the best cornerbacks of all time, Darrell Revis, who doesn't look like he puts any effort into anything.
Not even attempting to tackle at this point in his career.
Yeah, or to cover the 3rd wide receiver on the Patriots who gave up 2 touchdowns.
Don't expect me to be excited if he is somehow back here next year and he is moving to safety. Don't expect me to be excited about that move.
I think
because the Darrell Revis that I've seen now for a year and change isn't anyone that can play the safety position.
Early prediction, I think he's cut. Gone, done. Either retires or just done with us.
I don't know if that is the case because we gotta. He's 9 to be here. If you can get him to move some money around to get anywhere close to that figure, he's 9 to be here anyway. To have him here, but the effort is like, why have him here?
Why?
What are you gonna do with him?
All season he's been torched all season, man. It's unbelievable.
Now, you also brought up David Harris.
I wanted to see it. It's becoming clearer and clearer that Nick Mangold's not going to be on this team. He's going to retire.
Potentially not going to be on this team. I said, I see retirement.
Yeah, you're the one who said it
people
first.
People just see him moving on.
You said it first a couple weeks ago, and it definitely looks like he's going to retire. I think his injuries keep getting worse and worse. He's going down in the middle of the games, unusual. But, yeah, my one key point is, could we see David Harris in the funny papers? And what I mean by that is he also done with his career? Is he moving on to retirement? Is he moving on to maybe coaching or whatnot?
I can see him. I could see him doing something like that because he looks like he lives and breathes it. But to me, David Harris has been phased out by what this league has become. And where he lacked anyway in pass coverage, his skills have deteriorated and he's lost that half a step where now it's blatant. And you saw Darren Lee out there in the dime and out there on third down a couple weeks ago and this week. You're starting to see that transition already take place. David Harris is still one of the best run-stuffing inside linebackers in football.
I agree with that. The one thing I want to say about that is Todd Bowles taking players out earlier than they should be. Is Mo and David Harris not playing as much time as they should be? If a different coach was in here, would they be successful?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But one thing I will say is we pick up Anthony Johnson before the Rams game. I believe it was a Thursday. He was out there on Sunday in the goal line stand. We have that much of a dire need for some of these guys that we're picking up off the street and off waivers on Wednesdays and Thursdays. We got that much of a dire need that we got to get them out on the field on Sunday. And if you're going to pull that off, you better be a good enough coaching staff to have them prepared to be out there on Sunday. And with the effort and basic scheme execution that we see week in and week out right now, the players aren't prepared. Therefore, you had a roster need that bad and a coaching staff that couldn't get them ready. And your coach put them on the field, that's a problem. Where's the answer to that? And is that what's happening?
That's as much as I stick behind Bowles and I think you need to just keep turning the wheels with him, he does make me question putting a player out there right after signing him. Is he prepared? Is the player prepared? Are you putting too much on the player itself and not enough on your old-time veterans? Like, David Harris should be out there all game long as much as he can be a liability.
Yeah, but what we're also talking about, you can't put him out there he struggled with backs and tight ends when he was in his prime. When he was a young pup, he was able to move with him. In his prime, when he got paid the contract he did, he had issue with the men. Now it stands out. It stands out. No, he's steps behind at this point.
And that's the reason why I bring it up is him and Mangold walking the yellow brick road together.
You hope it's not the case, but the body's breaking down. You get up there in age, you got to work a little bit harder, and Mangold looks like he enjoyed the bar a little bit, even in his prime. So we'll see what his future holds. We'll see if the Jets will even have him here for the number he's at, the fact we can get out of it, and where this team's going to be looking to go growth-wise. Getting back up into this indie performance and into Petty, you see that throw he makes to Robbie Anderson, and you just think, how consistent, how often can we get him to pull that off?
I don't think you could. I think that he's got the ability to. I just don't think you could. I think he looks better than Fitzpatrick. I'll tell you that. He looks
not
so
when he
much...
came into the game, because when he came into that game in the third quarter, that first drive was scary. Scary.
But the funny thing is,
I give him the benefit of the doubt of coming off the bench cold.
No, yeah, coming off the bench cold, your first pass is to Brandon Marshall for a first down. I just think that he comes out like that. Fitzpatrick can't get a first down. He's 0-3 in the first three drives of the game.
That was definitely not his first pass. He dropped back. He pumped. He hitched, and he walked into a sack.
I thought it was the Brandon Marshall comeback.
No, he walked into a sack. That was third down.
Okay.
He walked into a sack, and it was deer in the headlights, eyes wide open.
Okay, even if I'm wrong, third down, he gets a first down with Brandon Marshall when he's out there.
And that's when he got to perform.
Fitzpatrick is going 0-3.
That's the money down.
He's going 0-3, you know, every time he's out there. It's unbelievable that he looks like complete, like he's never played in this league before. 12 years in this league, you look like you've never played here before.
But you say yourself that Petty looks like a long-term backup, and I think it's clear he's not a starter. You see throws like the throw to Anderson, and you listen to the kid post-game. The shape he's gotten himself in is impressive as it is. But you listen to his words and every opportunity, and it's I got to perform. I got to show. I'm not supposed to be here. I know that, and I relish that. And he's got all the answers. The head's there. The arm's there. People can say the arm's a little above average, but I think the arm's decent.
Definitely.
The arm's there. And he talks about, which is scary and good to hear, but he talks about seeing it and then having to get his feet under him and deliver it. And that's all mechanics. So if we're still having mechanic issues a year and a half in, do we got the right staff developing Hack who we're rebuilding from scratch? Just to give another layer to that.
Light bulb.
Yes. Okay. Boom. Perfect way to put it. Getting back to Petty, though. You hear him say, I see it and I just got to let it go. When does that happen? Is 4 weeks enough to see if that can happen? To where he can be more than just a backup.
I definitely think 4 weeks is perfect to see what he has. He's going against a horrible San Francisco team. He's going against a mediocre Miami team. He's going against a very good New England team. And we'll be tested in New England.
Mediocre defense, though.
He will be tested in New England. And then he'll
great
be tested
scheme,
against
mediocre talent.
He'll be tested against Rex Ryan's defense.
Absolutely.
So I think these four games will test the hell out of him and know what we're going to do with him next season.
Is it make or break for his career in New York, in your opinion?
In New York, yes, I think. But I don't think it'd make a break for his career in general.
Because you got to look at it like Fitz is gone. We know that. If Petty's not, if Hack's going to be year two next year and another year of development, you're bringing in a veteran a la a Hoyer or a McCown, someone like that, maybe a Glennon. And then you're maybe dipping back into the well and drafting another young guy to have behind a Hack. So does Petty have a place on this team? If he doesn't show enough to be a legit NFL starter, does he even have a place on this roster?
When I said light bulb before, my thing was, do we have the right guys developing him? And my thing is, Chan Gailey needs to be fired. And yes, the firing.
That's your thing? I'm over here taking a drink.
Hold on.
And my thing is that we need to can his ass.
Chan Gailey needs to be fired, even though that means that Hackenberg's year is wasted. I don't think he's developing these quarterbacks right. He fell in love with Fitzpatrick too much, and that's his buddy. And he's not developing the young guy. He's obviously not. If it's a year and a half in, you can't get the mechanics down with Bryce Petty, who seems to be in there for the wholehearted. You know what I mean?
But did we take Petty knowing that was a 2 year job, and now unfortunately we needed to get the car on the road in a year and a half?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're looking at a 2 year job. I think that Petty should have that down. I think that you should be developing him and not putting all your focus on Fitzpatrick, who's an old guy who doesn't care after he gets paid. Obviously, got paid and his whole attitude changed. He was a team player last year. He doesn't seem like a team player this year.
A lot's happened since then to give him the benefit of that doubt, but it really is crazy. His downright demeanor, just his smugness. We know about the confidence in himself, which, keep that flowing, buddy. More power to you. Wish I was right there behind you with that amount. But the brashness he steps to this podium with is like, who I am and what's going on around me that's causing this.
I'm a $12 million boy.
You are the problem.
I'm the $12 million man.
Why are you lying right now? You are the problem.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And with
really
his
is.
Play early in the season, we might not be in this hole. But let me get back to what I was saying. So Bryce Petty, yeah, he comes out, he plays well. I think there might be a spot on this team for him, but I don't think that he's the future. I still think Hack is the future, and I think you need to get rid of Chan to develop Hack.
I think that's their overall stance, too. And if you're getting rid of Chan, are you going to Kevin Petullo, our quarterback coach? Is it an in-house hire?
No,
I
hope
not. Are
you
promoting from within to keep the scheme the same?
I hope not, because he would be also involved in the mechanic issue with Bryce and the development of $12 million man Fitzpatrick this season. So in my opinion, you don't keep it in-house. You go outside. I'm hoping Bill O'Brien gets fired and he comes up and coaches Hack.
You're on crack. They're going to win the South. Are you nuts? I'm moving.
Those are my dreams.
Back
Pete.
To a Fitz situation here, though. Fitz suiting up, but Hack's in only if there's an injury. Hack won't play otherwise, but we're going to suit up Fitz. Why?
We're not suiting up Hack at all.
Yeah, we are. Hack is going to be suited up.
For the first time.
Hackenberg is going, no, I believe second time. I believe he was already suited up for a game this year. But Hack is going to be suited up, and he will be the backup and play in case of injury. But Fitzpatrick will also have shoulder pads on. Why?
because this is what literally that's what they're saying that to you, and they're putting the pads on Hack, but it only means if Petty goes down, Fitzpatrick's going in there.
Yes. No
chance Hack gets in there.
You're wrong. This is from the horse's mouth.
That's fine.
Hack will play.
That's fine. The plan all along was to put Bryce in there the last four games.
See,
I don't give a crap what the horse said. He's not getting in the game. Fitzpatrick will be in the game if there's an injury. Bowles doesn't go down like that.
I don't think you know anything about Bowles right now. Pick Mike up right here, because I don't think you know a damn thing about Todd Bowles right now. Because we were sold on a defensive genius. I see a vanilla scheme. Maybe it's players and not having the horses to do what he wants to do. But I see a vanilla scheme that is getting waxed week in and week out right now. And I don't see any answers really coming. I've seen nothing exotic. I've seen nothing to where I say, man, Bowles really out-schemed or out-coached somebody this week. So we were sold on that. We were sold on a disciplinarian. I got guys late. I got guys chatty with the reporters. I got guys going back and forth with reporters. Three personal foul penalties in the first half of a football game. So I don't see any disciplinarian actions there. Answers, please. I don't see it right now. I want to see it with you. I want to not be the Cleveland Browns. I want to have the same stance as you. I was there. I'm now right on that fence. Because how much time do you waste? I don't know.
There's no wasted time, I think. You know, this is a chalked up year to me right now. Chalked up year, no matter what happened in the next four games.
No, I can't agree with that, because moving right into San Fran, you can't just have that West Coast hangover cloud that you can fall back on. What type of team has to get off that plane to show anything, to show any growth, to show fight, to have Brandon Marshall's words hold any weight?
I don't think the players should have the mentality I have as a fan. You can't say it's chalked up, obviously. But to me, the season's chalked no matter what happens. It doesn't make me feel any different about Todd. It doesn't make me feel any different about Fitzpatrick. It doesn't make me feel any different about Bryce here. Bryce obviously
What would have changed your opinion? You're like stone right now.
I think you just have – these are the seasons you have to fight through and move on with the same coach.
That's not when you have clout, though, when you already got money in the bank. Like Rex had two AFC championship game appearances that we needed to tough times through with.
And then we had three tough seasons, and then he got fired. Deserve him. 8-8, three straight seasons.
I hear you, the roster crippled around him, but he had a hand in that, so he's not absolved. I hear you there.
How many seasons did he play? Did he coach with us?
Rex from 9 to 15.
Six,
so you're looking
years?
At 6 years.
I think that's a decent amount of time to judge how long you're going to keep
my
the coach.
My point is, we made it through seasons like this because he had money in the bank of a rookie year championship game and then went back to it. He had that as on his resume credentials.
And to me, last year would have played out differently if Fitzpatrick wasn't our quarterback in that last game. But at the same time, I think Todd Bowles had a great first season with us, with a team that he completely changed from the Rex Ryan era. New general manager, just different team overall. I think that you can't compare Todd Bowles' first season to Rex Ryan's first AFC championship. I don't think they're comparable.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to say we were willing.
Yeah, there was more money in the bank.
The bravado,
I get you.
The brashness. We were willing to put up with everything in a bad season because of what Rex kind of teased us with.
Exactly. He made young Jet fans excited.
Bowles teased us with 10-6 and no playoffs, and the empire, the structure doesn't even seem to be formed a year and a half, year and three quarters into a regime here.
But the Jets have never just let it simmer, man. Don't be like the Cleveland Browns. Don't do what they do. Don't follow in the footsteps of a horrible, horrible organization.
Do you put yourself in the position of becoming the Jacksonville Jaguars then? Of hanging on to Gus Bradley and Gus Bradley
getting another
vote of confidence.
I'd rather go that route,
so
to be honest.
You'd rather go 3-13 every year but have a bunch of talent?
No, I'd rather go the route of sticking in with the coach until I'm completely out of juice. I don't think that the Cleveland Brown route
you miss
is
pockets
is
of
any
talent,
better
though.
Is any better. is not better. What would you rather have, the Cleveland Brown route or the, would you rather have no talent and no wins or talent and no wins?
Does it matter?
It obviously doesn't, but you got to pick one, right? Which one would you rather have?
Pick one for me. It doesn't matter.
So either way, we're a crappy organization. So what does it matter if Todd Bowles is fired or not?
Because then you have might as now well that stick ray it out of with new, them. That
it is your general
hope.
Manager pick. It is your general manager pick.
No, it's not. Absolutely
pick.
Not. You're 100% wrong.
Todd Bowles is 100% not
the pick for, wrong. Mike Maccagnan? Nope. Todd Bowles was actually, paperwork-wise, hired before Mike Maccagnan.
With who? Charlie Cassidy?
Yes, Charlie Cashley and Ron Wolf and the
Ooh, they all
the
have a connection. They all have a connection.
I hear you, but my point is they were brought in together and I brought up the power structure. Where were you 35 minutes ago on this show? I brought up the power. They both answer to Woody Johnson. Neither is each other's boss.
No,
they each
no,
have a
no,
job
no
that they're working
is saying
to get
boss,
the job
I'm
done.
Saying they all came in here together. This is what they wanted. This is what they've decided
I'm saying
on.
2016, Maccagnan gave him the tools to work with and Bowles has fumbled the project.
Do you think that Maccagnan thinks that he's on the chopping block in these next four games?
No, I think Maccagnan, they both know what they signed up for. Bowles said it post-game when he said, I was coaching for my job the minute I took this job. I think Maccagnan is now looking at it like, man, I thought Idzik was put in a tough spot and tough situation.
Welcome to New York, buddy.
Am I in the same spot as Idzik right now?
Welcome to New York.
And I hope, I pray it's not the case. I love what Maccagnan
which
can
exactly
do with this
my
team,
point,
and I'm in,
Pete,
I
which
believe.
Is exactly my point. Am I in the same position as John Idzik? It shouldn't be like that. He should know that his job is safe for a couple years. Todd Bowles should know his job is safe for a couple years. Not that you get fired after the one bad season, because you can't say last season was bad. You're going to have a bad season one time. You can't have great seasons.
You generally have something you can always hang your hat on, though. And I asked you a couple of weeks ago right here, give me one thing Todd Bowles does well.
I think Darren Lee has one thing that Todd Bowles has done well.
You could say Leonard Williams then if you want.
Exactly. Why shouldn't I? Those are things that I can hang my hat on.
Because he's not a positional coach. This
I'm
is something you can hang your hat
coach.
On.
I'm talking about taking two defensive players and...
For Maccagnan. This is something you can argue for Mike Maccagnan,
not
Todd Bowles.
And they both turned out to be... They look like they're pretty good players here. They look like they're pretty good players. You don't agree?
Yes, but
and
that
keeping
goes
on
the
Rontez Miles, who also
manager.
Looks like a serviceable backup.
And
Darryl Roberts, who looks like a serviceable cornerback.
Okay, Mike Maccagnan and his staff found him. This is my point. They're bringing in the talent. I'm talking about the execution.
And they're not executing it? Those players aren't executing?
Todd Bowles is not.
As a whole, they're not.
No, Darryl Roberts was lost on Monday night.
As a whole, they're not. But you got to say that they look like they're talented players and they're playing the best out of any other player on the team.
I'm not arguing that with you. What I'm saying is this is an argument and a stance that you're taking that strengthens my point on why the general manager should not have any heat under his feet.
I don't agree, but my I don't agree
point,
with that.
But he's the one bringing in Leonard Williams and drafting Darren Lee 20 overall and acquiring a Darryl Roberts off waivers. And hopefully we can get the type of play from Arthur Brown that we've peaked from Roberts. And I'll take that. But to me, what you're saying is a compliment to Mac and not what we're dissecting for Bowles.
I want to compliment Mac, but I also want to hate on Mac for 51st overall pick who hasn't dressed this year, really, maybe once, according to you. I just don't know that even he has it all figured out either. So, again, you need to let these two keep going.
I'm not saying all figured out, but you had said his pick and it was not his pick, and that's my point of the fallback of that, and if that's the guy that the two football minds that you respected told you, let him take you out of this rut. Let him go get you the coach he wants. Let him do that. You didn't give the last guy that opportunity. He walked in, was handcuffed with Rex, did a press conference that cost him his job, planes were flying, and he was out of here. Part of the circus you described to open this show. Let's not do that. But if you have to move on from Bowles, the compliments you have for Bowles, in my eyes, what you just said, speak for Maccagnan and strengthen why I feel he should not be part of that stance.
My compliments I have for Bowles is taking what we did last year. Yes, we didn't see much of that this year, but I don't think it's time to chalk him up. We saw what he can do.
Yeah,
we
but
saw
you yourself,
what he can do.
You yourself have said during the Fitz negotiations, it was luck, it was Marshall doing his thing with a new team, new season, it was the defense that we had humming and the way they were playing up front, and it was just a luck of the draw that our schedule sucked. and we hit pockets where we could fool people, and we were fool's gold.
Yeah, but we
so you yeah, have it both
the
ways
same,
there.
At the same time, though, yeah, I'll take it that way. But at the same time, the Bulls' defense last year looked a lot better than it does this year. The players were playing much better. Everybody was on their cues. Everything.
Calvin
looked,
Pryor and Marcus Gilchrist, and I think that's one of the biggest not spoke about things with why we look the way we look on defense. Calvin Pryor and Marcus Gilchrist played at Pro Bowl levels last year.
Yes, they did.
Somewhat consistently.
Yes, they did. And this year they took a step backwards, especially Marcus Gilchrist. Especially because he's been out there all year. I haven't seen much of him. And we got Calvin Pryor, who I thought was going to be a top five safety, and that dude completely blows.
I've seen a lot of him chasing. And Pryor right now is back to the over-pursuing and playing a little reckless and looking like he's out of place. But again, I'm going to put that back down on the staff and meet them in the middle there. Now, we steered this so much toward Bowles and Maccagnan here, getting into what's really important for the rest of this season, as I've brought up a couple times, the NFL draft. We're currently sitting number 5 overall, really tied number 4 overall with Chicago. Cleveland sitting in the catbird seat at 0-12, and the San Francisco 49ers, who we play this week, sitting at 1-11. So in reality, San Fran can get their second win this week against us. That would help. You got Jacksonville at 2-10. They don't look like they can win a game. They're playing Minnesota. Cleveland, by the way, is at home for Cincinnati. You got Chicago playing in Detroit. Division game there. Maybe you can get them to squeak out a win. Tough game on the road. Maybe we can move up to 4 or stay idle if we were to pull off a win in San Francisco. Do you see that combination? Do you trust that combination to use this top 5 pick? And give me a little idea of where you'd want to go with it. That's what the landscape looks like. You'd have to assume everybody loses this week except us and San Fran, who play each other. So give us the win there. Everything stays the same. We're 5 with 3 weeks to go.
I'm cool with that. I think that we stay in the top 5 somewhere. We're 5. That's fine. I hope.
I'd love to get to 3.
I hope. I think the pick should be Peppers. I think Peppers is the guy I'm looking for. I think he helps this team. I obviously know we talked pre-show. You don't know where he would play on this team.
Yeah, I very much have cooled on Peppers in the last, let's say, 8 days. But it's just the way I look at it right
and
now.
And all our ideas will change by draft day. But I think that Peppers is somebody that can change this team, and he's played 9 positions with Michigan. I think that this guy is versatile and somebody that can help a team overall.
Just keep stockpiling talent.
Yep. That's what I see.
I am
and
dying.
You know what?
To get,
you stockpile. Sorry, you stockpile. You keep stockpiling talent for the next coach. If you guys assume that this coach is done, you keep bringing talent to this team.
I just think, depending what goes on the field over the next month, we'll have a lot to say of if he's back. And what you saw on Monday night, if that's any sneak peek into what it's going to be, he's fired. So you keep acquiring talent, you keep bringing in premium talent with premium picks, and you got to hit on it the way we looked like we've hit on a Leonard Williams. To me, though, I've just cooled a little bit on Peppers due to positional value, where we are overall, most bang for the buck. And you think with how much Peppers can do, that would be the most bang for your buck, but if we could somehow get to 3 and get our hands on a Myles Garrett, because San Fran, I'm assuming we win this week. Little peek into how we're going to wrap this up in a second. But San Fran sitting at 2. I think if Chip is there, which if Chip didn't go back to Oregon, I expect Chip to be there. I don't think he's passing on a quarterback. I don't think Kaepernick's there. And I think Deshaun Watson fits what he wants to do. Go ahead. You're grabbing the mic over there. Go ahead.
I just want to know, you brought Kaepernick. You think he's gone? Do you think he's...
I will not entertain that. So you move to number 1. You got Cleveland sitting at 1. They take the Ohio kid, Mitch Trubisky, out of North Carolina. You're then sitting, if you weren't taking a quarterback because of the 51st overall pick that's sitting there inactive like you just preached about. If you weren't taking a quarterback anyway because that's your plan, now you get the number 1 player on your draft board, positional-wise, that's not a quarterback. Get the number 1 player on your draft board, potentially overall, and for what I just said. It would be a very advantageous spot to be in. I just don't really see us getting 2-3. The rest of the season will show that. I think maybe we do have 1 win in us, possibly even including this San Fran game, unfortunately. I can see us falling as low as 7 or 8, but no further than that. And I start to really hone in on the Derek Barnett's in that case, and maybe the Quincy Wilson's, the corner out of Florida.
You don't think Peppers gets to us if that's
I could actually even see, yeah, I really can. I could see a situation where maybe Peppers gets to 7, and I'd be a little bit more okay with him there than 4.
He's there at 5. You take him, right?
We'll see. You got to tell me who else is there, who else has done what. There's still a lot to shake free for a situation like that. Okay. All right, rerun quick San Fran game, and let's wrap it up here.
San Fran game is, you know, they're crappy organization too right now. There's nothing to say. Hopefully that Bryce Petty,
Jeremy Curley gonna eat.
I would love to see that. You know, let him tear us up.
For what I'm rooting for, yeah. Give me 24-21 San Fran.
I would love
him
to go like this to Todd
with Curley
Bowles.
Coming out of the slot to set them
you
up
need
for
a
the
punt
game
returner.
Field.
You need a kick returner.
No, you know that's gonna that's be fair he, catch. You already he, know that's fair catch city.
I would love,
but
for him
JK
to do that.
Gonna eat working out of the slot. I think this week.
I have one question for you. To end this podcast.
Well, hold on here. Finish your prediction. I'll tell you what I see, and then we'll wrap it up with that.
Prediction. Well, this is so hard. 10-7. San Francisco.
God, another disgusting one. But it's where my head's at as well. I'm hoping for, like I just said, a 24-21, maybe a 21-17. I'm hoping for maybe
we're
a little action.
We're putting up 21 points?
Listen, Pop's 60th birthday.
Happy birthday!
We got Big D, Danny DeCrody coming over.
I'm sorry,
we're
not putting 21 points up.
I just want to see a little bit of a football game, but best case scenario for me, let's get San Fran to 2 wins and 1 closer to muddying the waters with us and wind up with tiebreakers and all this to Red Robin. And let's get us as high as we can in that NFL draft.
Just get the first overall pick.
Draft season in December. It's the life of a Jet fan. It's unreal. Every year, rinse, wash, repeat. Same storyline, same problem at the quarterback position. What's your question here before we go?
Biggest cut in 2017.
In terms of surprise?
Yep.
Guy that we're not expecting to not be here?
Yep.
Okay, you go first. Give me a second.
To me, I didn't get into it this show, but I think Brandon Marshall should be on this team, and I think he's the surprise cut.
That's good. Since I can't go with him, I will actually say surprise cut. We eat the money and cut Forte this offseason then.
We eat
the money on Forte, take advantage of the running back talent in the draft, and go completely young, and maybe then we can possibly give Bilal Powell the role he deserves.
You guys heard it here first, right on the NYJ Couch Scouts. Pete Antonelli claims or predicts.
No, I don't know about all that. Relax.
Matt Forte might be cut.
You put me on the spot there. Matt Forte is a guy who him himself saying some things as a veteran and a guy who's been in one place for a long time post-game that, to me, speaks a lot in terms of reading tea leaves and speaks a lot in between the lines of what he's really saying about this team right now. It's where we are. It's unfortunately what this season's become, but another week here with the Couch Scouts. We were excited to be back. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Find us on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jet fans, check us out on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us your questions and your comments, and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to our co-founder, David Schwenderman, and our producer, Gio Garcia, as usual. And one more to you guys out there. Happy to be back. Hope you're tuning in. Look for us next week. We're going to start honing in on that draft, honing in on that offseason, because what else do we got to talk about, baby? Let's not get one in San Fran this week. Till next week, Jet fans.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast. Audio of the free.